Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And joining us now on the River Islands guest line is Odyssey NFL insider Jason LaConfora, host of the Odyssey original podcast, Wanna Bet? Listen to Wanna Bet now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, or watch it live daily on Jason's X account. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Jason, glad to have you, and he's with us on YouTube. How's the podcast going?
It's going well. We got some plays for tonight's game, some plays on the 9 p.m. MLB game that we feel good about. So, yeah, we're not just a football betting podcast. Doing really well in soccer and can't wait for the NBA. So, yes, it's good night to bet.
Beautiful. Aren't they all? Aren't they all? And I'm sitting across from
yes,
a man
that's,
here.
That's true.
Right, Jason? So I'm sitting my partner over here. We do something called Fade the Dibbers because last year – well, his picks kind of sucked. And so we started out this year, and the rules basically are he does all the Monday night games, the Thursday night game, the Sunday night game, and any Niner game. So we've amassed so far 21 games into this season. Jason, he's 17-4.
Wow.
Talk to me about what kind of run that is in the gambling community.
That's beyond a heater. It's funny. We had a former producer on my radio show who didn't know anything about gambling whatsoever. And he started jumping in with us. And we had explained to him what over-unders were and lines and everything. He lost 16 straight bets. I thought that was the most remarkable thing I'd ever seen. Like, literally lost 16 straight against the spread bets before he finally hit one. But 17-4, yeah, I need access to this individual.
Yeah, I'm right here, Jason, yep, and I'm longtime fan of yours and scorching. Last year in the playoffs, I think I wound up going 3-11 or 2-12, whatever it was. So the bit actually worked last year, but tonight the pick is in, and I like the Chiefs given the 3.5. Your thoughts?
I like the under here. With the hook, I'd have to take the Jags. Like, I'm buying the Jags defense. I think they found themselves a legitimate defensive coordinator here and talked to some people. And look, I don't know anything about the guy. Like, I just started making calls for my column at the Washington Post asking people about the Jags. And people kept saying, the D coordinator. And then you look at his background. He's with Hafley in Green Bay last year. What do? They go from can't take the ball over to turn people over all over the place, right? And they were top 5 in yards per play. And then you go back to Miami, and he's there with Vic Fangio, and he's there with Brian Flores. And, you know, he's from Jersey. He's 43. He's pretty tough. Like, I don't know, man. I think Liam Cohen found himself one here. Are they going to continue to turn people over? A defense that had 9 takeaways all of last year already has 9 interceptions and 13 total takeaways. Like, I don't think that's sustainable. But you look at the advanced run metrics, there's 74% success rate stopping the run. That's best in the NFL. Opposing quarterback rating, 69. Like, I don't trust Trevor Lawrence. I don't think they trust Trevor Lawrence. I think they want to run Etienne 16, 18, 20 times, right? Play ball control, keep it simple, stupid. I don't buy Andy Reid's prolific offense. They look prolific against the Ravens. The Ravens' defense is a joke. It's a fraud. Like, I think they'll have to fight for it more tonight. So I think both teams trust their kickers, even though Butker looks like he's tailing off. So I kind of think it's an under game. I'd have to take 3.5 with Jacksonville if you made me take a side. But I think Trevor Lawrence throws a pick, and I think Etienne does get at least the 15 carries that you would need to cash that over.
Odyssey NFL insider Jason LaCanfora is with us. He can go all around the league, and insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Jason, I started off the show by saying, look, obviously he's a very, very good quarterback. He's taken multiple teams to the playoffs, multiple years at least, so we know he's good. But, you know, now he's struggling because not everything around him is structured well and it's not going well. Now we have to worry about his health. And then I said, of course, I'm talking about Lamar Jackson, which was my way of being like, leave Brock Purdy alone for this whole, like, system thing. He needs everything to be perfect around him. Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, like, don't all quarterbacks need some level of things going well around them in order to succeed?
Yeah, they do, undoubtedly. And look, the Purdy thing's going to have plenty of time to play out, right? I mean, that die's been cast. You know, they're going to have to play football games probably without Trent Williams next year. You know, like, there's going to continue to be a metamorphosis of that roster. You know, Pearsall looks like the real thing. Kittle, to me, tight ends and running backs, man, when they go fast. All those years, high collision, right? You're in traffic all the time. Like, so I know they just extended him. I'd be a little worried about that one. You know, I think they probably need to get him. And maybe this Tong, you know, look, Tong, whatever. He looks pretty good. Just, yeah. Maybe they're okay there. But, like, I do think having to move tight ends for him would be a big deal. The offensive line, again, they're going to have to continue to sort of retool that on the fly. I have questions about them defensively as well. So, look, I think what they were running for Mac Jones is the same stuff they'd have been running for Brock Purdy against the Rams, right? That was a triage game. It had to get it out quickly. That Rams D-line can do a lot of work. First half, not so much. Second half started coming on. And I think that's kind of who the 49ers are right now as they continue to get healthy. And if they can't run the ball in a more prolific manner than they can, then I think it's going to be death by a million paper cuts in the screen game. And that's how they'll sustain drives.
And you look at the upcoming game against Tampa Bay on Sunday, which has now been flexed into the afternoon. It's Nance and Romo and Tracy Wolfson. What do you think about that matchup just, you know, from 30,000 feet as we sit here now 6 days away?
I'm really bullish on the Bucs, but, like, this is a tough spot. They've done a lot of traveling. They're very beat up. Is there something of a letdown perhaps in them? Baker Mayfield is the real deal. I mean, nobody's thrown more touchdown passes than him since he got to Tampa, and he's got that fourth quarter gene. And I know Evans is out, and I know Bucky Irving's out, but, like, the rookie wide receiver is really good, and he'll throw the ball to Rashad White if he has to sustain drives. Like, his decision-making and his instincts are pretty on point. And look, Todd Bowles has done a really good job winning football games since he got there. They are a little bit vulnerable at home sometimes. Like, I kind of like the Bucs more on the road with that chip on their shoulder than I do at home. I think this could be a higher scoring game, right? We're thinking San Francisco's probably gotten a little healthier with 9 days off since they last played. But it's just really hard for me to go against the Bucs right now. Like, I mean, to me, they're a Super Bowl contender, and I think the quarterback might be the MVP of the league this year. So I think it's probably another close game. It seems like that's what the Niners are going to do this year. But I Tampa's a tough out, man. Tampa's a tough out.
Yep, no doubt about it. Jason LaCanfora, Odyssey NFL insider, joining us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Jason, let's talk Mac Jones. This performance that he's put together, what do you think it means for him, and sort of like how much would it travel? You know what I mean? Like, does the rest of the league start to get reinterested in him if something like this were to continue?
Well, we just talked about Baker Mayfield. Did you see what Sam Darnold's doing? Like, how are you not? I mean, right? Like, they spend a little time around him. I mean, those two were in Carolina and couldn't – I mean, the Panthers, who haven't had a quarterback in forever – you know, they didn't want anything to do with either of them. They wanted both of them out of their building. And then Baker spends 3 weeks with Liam Cohen, right? He gets picked up off the street by the Rams. They run out of quarterbacks. He plays that Thursday night game against the Raiders, wins. You know, he gets sort of polished up. And then we saw what Darnold spending a little bit of time with Shanahan did for him. So, yeah, I think he will be polished up. You'll understand what you have to do, the quick passing game, play to his strengths. He looks like a gamer. Obviously, he was a part of an untenable thing in New England with the end of Belichick, and we can see, that he might have been a little off his rocker there himself. That offense without McDaniels really hadn't done much. So, yeah, man, I think he will be somebody who will have an opportunity to further his career someplace else next year, making more money than he is now.
Any chance that Shanahan sticks with him if Brock's out for 2 or 3 weeks and he keeps winning?
I mean, crazier things have happened, right? Brock Purdy wasn't supposed to get this job in the first place. They moved heaven and earth to get Trey Lance. I'm old enough to remember that. I mean, look, could it play out that way? I guess. I just think you'd have a hell of a time moving that Purdy contract. Like, if Mac Jones were to beat him out, I don't know that they can financially let that happen. Like, with where that roster is and the long-term needs, like, we're talking about maybe needing a new left tackle. Like, there's going to be a lot of things. They need pass rushers, probably plural. Like, can you really count on Bosa anymore? Like, are they going to be able to also try to move a crazy contract? I don't think it comes to that. I don't think Brock Purdy gets Wally pipped here. But I do think Mac Jones will continue to look highly functional in this offense.
Jason, I wonder what it says about Brock Purdy that we're even having this conversation right now. He since this contract got signed, he's played 2 games. And one of them he won on the road in Seattle. So yeah. What does it say that seemingly at least a portion of the fan base and nation is willing to even have this conversation this quickly?
I think it says that $60 million quarterbacks, excluding like Tua, who that was just a bad deal, they generally have some superpower in their skill set that propels them and makes you think that they're different than the average bear, right? Whether it's to Josh Allen and what that looks like, or Joe Burrow with maybe arguably just the best pure arm in the league, or Herbert and that unique athletic skill set, right? The Lamar Jackson. Like, usually you're a freak of nature athletically, and Burrow's pretty athletic. I think he's more athletic than maybe some might think. Or you just, he took the Bengals to a Super Bowl like in his second year, like that. Brock Purdy doesn't have that. If he had that, there's no way you draft him when you draft him, because somebody's like, it's just too much of an athletic. Like, we got to scoop that up. We got to see what that, like, at the very least, he's like a Milrone. You know what I mean? Like, someone in the middle rounds is like, hey, I'm jumping on him. I think I got lightning in a bottle. So I think it really comes down to that. All the same reasons that the analyst, right, the quants, the people who are super into the metrics and all the combine numbers, right, who are in these organizations, like, that's how you end up being Mr. Irrelevant. And when you're Mr. Irrelevant, there's going to be certain people who are kind of thinking, is there something flukish to this success? So, but I think that's what it, like, I don't know that he has a superpower. And then the fact that he was raised by Shanahan, who we're just talking about, he brought Darnold back from the dead. He's bringing Mac Jones back from the dead. I think that works against him as well.
And is that truly the superpower, the fact that he's working with Kyle? In other words, can Kyle rightly get another quarterback, not just Mac or Sam, but anybody else, and turn them into something that they otherwise weren't?
Well, I think that's why some people are surprised that this played out the way it did and that they made this sort of bet with Purdy, because that's sort of always been their thinking, And to see these guys like Baker and Darnold, even like Geno for a while, like, have this late prime renaissance that gets them real money contracts, but not $60 million a year, that sort of upper mid tier, right? Like Cousins. That's why so many people thought, hey, they might just mess around, wait for Cousins to get cut or trade for Cousins, especially now that he's on the cheap, and move off of Purdy there. A lot of personnel guys thought, hey, if they do that, that's going to give them more flexibility to keep another blue chip player or two. Obviously, I think they had some scars from the Lance thing and some scars from the Jimmy G thing. And so, look, if this is our guy, this is our guy, and we're going to, we're going to pay what we have to pay and do what we have to do. but it doesn't mean that they won't regret that down the road.
Jason LaCanfora is with us, Odyssey NFL insider on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. You had mentioned a minute ago you're bullish on the Bucs. I'm looking at the 6-4-1 teams that are in the NFL, and the Niners and Bucs play against one another this week. Their point differentials, respectively, are 3 and 8. That's it. Yeah. I know that they're both banged up, but do you see these two teams as both kind of belonging with the other 4-1 teams around the league, or is this sort of circumstantial?
I mean, obviously, there's a lot of football to be played. I think the Bucs get a little bit of a bump because of the division they play in. You know, they've already won a big division game, like Week One. I mean, Atlanta's improved defensively, right? But they've already got that feather in their cap. Carolina's marginally better, but still could get blown out by anybody any given week. The Saints are going to be picking in the top three, you know, and I think they've done a really good job of dominating that division. So I think that's going to get them a home playoff game at least, right? And they've got a playoff pedigree. I think it's a little bit more of a dogfight for the 49ers because of that division and because of some of the attrition that they've had to their roster, and because, you know, some of the guys you really like, Bosa, right, would have been on a real short list of dudes who might probably get hurt but really can't. But, I mean, look, these are teams that have become playoff fixtures. So, and once you get in, anything's possible. But I could see Tampa having a little bit of an easier road.
Niners are probably going to be looking for a pass rusher, and Trey Hendrickson, as the Bengals continue to free fall, might be available. What do you think would be fair compensation for a team to go out there and try to get Hendrickson at the deadline?
I would say good luck making a trade with Mike Brown. You know, I'm old enough to remember, you know, 3-4 years ago, and everybody wanted out of there. Like Geno Atkins, like the whole defense were quitting, and no one could try. Like, I literally had GM saying, like, I can't get Katie Blackburn on the phone. She's in Switzerland skiing. And Mike Brown's refusing to engage. And when we called Duke Tobin, he says, I'm not authorized to do that. You've got to talk to Mike or Katie. Like, I just don't think that's Mike Brown's bag. Like, he's always told other teams, I don't want to help you win. Like, he'd rather, I mean, he did it with AJ Green that year. Like, he'd rather eat the bad contract and make those guys live it out with him, right? And slug out an ugly season than he would trade them. I think the premium that he would put on them, especially after just having finally paid Hendrickson and gussied that up, it makes all the sense in the world to move him. But just too many people have told me over the years, like, my God, it's really painful trying to engage him on these kind of matters. He's like a conscientious objector to the trade deadline. So good luck. Whatever you think it's going to cost, it'll probably cost more.
Well, what about some other guys? Like, I look at Miami, and there's pedigree, obviously, between the two head coaches. Chubb and Jalen Phillips, like, you think those might be nice fits?
Yeah, I think that owner knows he's going to have to fire the coach, and so why not move some salary? Nobody's going to come to their games anyway. I think he's got to clear the deck. He's got to finally get Chris Greer out of there as well. So, yeah, I think Miami, you know, the Giants – let's see Thursday night. Let's see a couple more weeks. You know, Thibodeau, they've already drafted his replacement in Abdul Carter. There have been rumors about him for, you know, going back to this time last year.
Yep.
I think they'd really love to have a dominant defensive front. And on paper, it looks like it should be, but it hasn't really manifested itself. And they're paying some other guys already. So, like, that wouldn't shock me. You know, Tennessee, people are going to try to get Simmons out of there. I know that's obviously interior. You're talking more edge, but – that's another one where, like, they didn't want to trade Derrick Henry because the owner last year, I mean, they wanted to, the football people wanted to trade him, but Amy Adams Strunk didn't want to trade him. You know, she's trying to get a stadium built. She's trying to get $1 billion in free money. So, like, she doesn't want to have an empty stadium. Now, are people going to show up to see Simmons on a 2-win team? I don't know. But I just know making these kind of trades with them, in years past has proven tricky, and they've obviously been a horrible team for a while now.
Jason, wonderful to have you, man. Great to have your perspective, and you know, good luck with your picks.
Thank you. Let's go. We've been really good on these one-game NFL windows, so hopefully we get after it. Thank you, guys.
Yep. Boom. All right, Jason. Thanks, Jason. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Jason LaCanfora. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Jason is the host of the Odyssey original podcast, Wanna Bet? Remember to listen to Wanna Bet on Spotify or Apple Podcast, or watch it live daily on Jason's X account. There you have it. And yeah, I think that might actually, the more I think about it,
yeah,
that might be the fit for the 49ers is a phone call with the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
I think there are edge rushers there that they could that could really help.
Especially when they get to the portion of the season where they officially wave the white flag. And, you know, 1-4 right now, they probably aren't quite there yet. But he's right. Mike McDaniel is most likely going to lose his job. Yep. And if you do that and you replace the GM as well, then you might be in a spot where you start to tear the whole thing down to the studs.
Yeah. So, but that's the other thing about what happened on Thursday night and then what happened yesterday that I think is more significant in an urgent way. We look at it and we go, okay, 4-1, that's nice. 3-0 in the division, that's really nice. I bet that'll help you later in the year. No, these things are all helping the 49ers right now because October is here. The trade deadline is at the end of the month. And, you know, John Lynch publicly stated a few days ago that in a way your team has to go earn a big move. And I would argue they have, because now, like, think even if something doesn't go well, let's say they lose this week or what have you, but pretty hard to imagine that what has been built to this point has fully cratered prior to the trade deadline. I think they only play 3 more games. Worst you can be is 4-4. And based on the opponents you have and the health that you have coming back, I think you feel pretty good that it's going to be better than that. So if the Niners are even sitting kind of dead even with their divisional counterparts and they've got wins already in the bank against each of them, how on earth are you going to get to the end of October and not feel like they have earned some reinforcements? John Lynch has got to make a move.
I agree, and I think it goes back for me to the year where they got Christian McCaffrey, which is, you know, when they got to that spot, they were 3-3 after a loss in Atlanta, and the team was better than their 3-3 record. And you looked at what that team needed. They needed somebody who could run the ball. You needed to be able to be a better running team. And Christian McCaffrey turns out was available, and you got him for a second, a third, a fourth, and a fifth. And the rest is history. You went to the Super Bowl. You didn't win it, but you got there eventually, and that was kind of where I see this team. If you look at this team right now, what do you need if you're the 49ers? Well, first and foremost, you need health. Okay, fine. Yeah. And Kittle should be back soon. Your quarterback should be back soon. And beyond that, what do you need that you don't have? And that is a pass rush. You need an edge rusher. You need somebody who can come in and, quote, wreck the game like Nick Bosa did. And Nick Bosa's not limping through that door. So beyond that, what do you really need? I don't think you have any other great need. Could you use an interior offensive lineman? Yeah. You need a tackle going forward. Jason Lockett Four even said, you know, I don't know if Trent Williams is going to be blocking next year. And that felt a little soon, but he's not wrong.
No, he's probably
potentially
right. Yeah.
And so as you look into the future, yeah, you have needs. But right now, you're 4-1. The number one thing you need more than anything else is to be able to get to the other team's quarterback.
No question about it. I think, do I have this right? They had one sack against the Rams, no sacks against Trevor Lawrence. No hits against Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, and, you know, going back to the game in which Nick was hurt, which was the week earlier against Arizona. I don't remember exactly what the numbers were after he left. I also know that's Kyler Murray. That kind of messes with the stats a little bit because he's so fast and he's elusive and whatnot, but the bottom line is the bottom line. Second Nick Bosa left, you can't rush the passer anymore. Like, that's the other thing, and I hate saying this about this year, but, like, let's be real. Let's be real. They can't keep living this way. Stop, this is disingenuous. Oh, the Niners are crushing it. Yeah, they're 4-1.
Right.
They cannot keep living this way.
You don't intercept the ball.
No.
You have 6 sacks in 5 games. And your pressure rate, I'm looking at it right now, you are 31st in pressure rate ahead of only Carolina. So your defense has been really, really good,
yeah.
Especially if you look at it through this lens. You don't sack the quarterback, you don't intercept the ball, and you don't pressure the quarterback.
And you don't run the ball on offense.
And you're 4-1.
And you're 4-1.
Right.
But, like, come on with this whole – and, yes, Mac deserves a ton of credit because in many ways that's sort of saying, hey, like, we got nothing for you but complete passes. And watch out because they're going to rush you, and he's done a wonderful job of it, a wonderful job. And to be in that scenario and not turn the ball over, what does he have, two turnovers in the three games?
Yeah.
One fumble, one pick? Incredible. Absolutely incredible. But the idea, the notion – 49er fans, that what you're watching is now what you want going forward, I think is laughable. It's beyond laughable to think that you can just keep playing football like this, and every week you're going to have a new rabbit to pull out of your butt and show to the whole nation. Look at us, we won again. Come on. The Chiefs looked like this all year last year. They made it to the Super Bowl, but we laughed at them the whole time. Like, you can't do it again. And they would do it again. And it's the number one reason why I don't think that they're going to have a great year this year. You can't live this way for a full year and have it go well.
And the Vikings, too, last year, it was very similar where they were, you know, winning games. They were a good team, but you're winning games that, you know, you probably don't always get to win. And if the 49ers continue on this trajectory for the season, that's awesome. But it's not really that sustainable when you are unable to run it, which is your staple, and you can't really rush the passer, and you don't intercept the ball. And especially when I think about this Sunday at Tampa Bay, and I know that they're going to be down some players as well, but that's a good offense.
Yes,
and
it's a very good offense.
Baker Mayfield is, Jason Lockett-Fora, who just joined us, he's not wrong about Baker Mayfield and an MVP type of year. So that Niner defense is going to be very, very tested in this game.
Yes, but don't make no mistake about it. The Bucs also give up a crap ton of points. Do you know how many teams in the NFC have given up more points than Tampa Bay?
One?
Two.
Wow.
The Saints and the Cowboys.
There you go.
There's your list.
The Cowboys.
That's it. So, like, both of these teams are pulling rabbits out of their hats every single week. Look at Tampa's four wins. You know this. Baker Mayfield's losing with 2 minutes to go in all five of his games.
Right.
And they're 4-1. So both of these teams, I got a message for both of you. This ain't going to last. You better get better. You better get healthier. You better get some reinforcements. And you better tighten some things up. Period. You're not going to win football games like this every single week.
It's hard to sustain that. Like, yes, the model for both. Like, Tampa's model is, we score a lot, we fall behind, and Baker to the rescue, come save us. And the 49ers, it is, you know, tight game, real nail biter, and hopefully we have the lead and we can make a play on defense. And you know what? We're going to go ahead and win that game too. But something's got to give on Sunday in Tampa in these 4-1 battles.
Big time, big time. It's going to be a fun game.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun game. I think the ball's going to move. It's going to be like Darren Ruff. Ball's going to be on the move. All right, back to the phones, 888-957-9570. Thank you for being with us and participating and interacting and all those good things. Let's go to Bob in the city. Hi, Bob. Thanks for the call. What are you doing tonight?
Hey, how you doing? Just heading home. I thought it was a little rough, your last guest on Purdy. I think Purdy, for me personally, his secret weapon is his mind. You know what I mean? He knows where to throw it, when to throw it. He didn't have a good game last time, obviously, but I think that's his secret weapon. He's he can really figure out where he's going to do, boom, and get it done. Or on the fly, he can, you know, find somebody open. So I think he does have a secret weapon. Anyway, I was just saying that, it looks like it might be the Lions and the Bills in the bowl this year. And, you know, I'm afraid that if the Niners do get to the playoffs, the Lions might have their number this time. But, you know, we already knew it was going to be next year that the real push was going to happen, right? At least that's what we're hoping.
Well, I think you're a little ahead of yourself, Bob. That's how I would say it. You might be right. Thanks for the call. But it's week five. Like, we just finished week five. What this is all going to look like, who's going to be healthy, ready to go come December and January, I don't know how there's any way to know that yet. And this, as opposed to what I just said about the Niners, how they can't keep living this way, the other side of the coin is this. The Niners are 4-1, and I don't think we've seen the Niners yet.
Pretty much, right.
There's a path for this to look completely different, to get healthy, to get reinforcements. So to look at these five games and suggest if they make the playoffs, this is what they'll look like when they get to the playoffs? Geez, I hope not. I hope not. I hope Kittle's not out. The entire wide receiver core is out. The quarterback is out. We're still not rushing the passer. I hope that's not what it looks like, and I don't think that it will. So I don't know. That's just that. I think we're getting a little far down the road to be thinking about the playoffs after week five. I think the Niners have put themselves in a wonderful position based on the games they've been able to pull out. But that's all. They've just set the table. Now you've got to go eat.
You have to go eat, and I'm afraid that when it comes time for them to eat, certain things, I don't know if they can be changed in the middle of the season. Number one, we've talked about it ad nauseum. In terms of yards per carry, they are dead last.
Yep.
And the stats will show you they're tied with the Bengals, but I actually did the exact math, and they're fractionally worse than Cincinnati on the ground. So they are the worst per carry rushing team in football, and Shanahan loves to run it. They all do, but Shanahan especially, when they run it well, they win. And when they don't run it well, they have a hard time winning. So I don't know if that is fixable in season. And the other piece of it, and you mentioned the pass rush and get a pass rusher and a couple of guys in Miami and the Cincinnati guy who maybe they won't trade because they don't do that. That is an area where you absolutely need to go out there and find somebody. So can you find an offensive lineman who can help you run the ball? That's tougher.
That's tough.
Unless John Feliciano wants to come out of the podcast booth in retirement.
Why are you trying to ruin our Tuesday show? What's the matter with you?
Yeah. I'm not, but he can still join us. Tuesday is usually an off day.
That's true.
So he can come on down. But I think that getting a better pass rush and being able to run the ball, if they can't do both of those things, then 4-1 to me doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and the other thing Bob brought up that, and I'm glad he brought this up. So Jason LaConfora, when he said, you know, he was kind of made reference to the whole like quarterbacks have superpower things, and Brock doesn't have a superpower. He was referring to the quarterbacks who are all making north of 50, and he said outside of Tua, you know, they've all got this superpower. And I'm glad Bob brought this up because we didn't really have a chance in the conversation to kind of challenge him on that, but I'd like to challenge him on that. Does Dak Prescott have a superpower? It's a superpower. Trevor Lawrence, superpower. Jared Goff, does he have a superpower? I don't see that. Josh Allen has a superpower. And Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow, and I guess now we get into the whole like, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love thing, is there a superpower? Like, they're big. They're big and strong.
Yeah, okay,
but well, like... Like,
Patrick Mahomes' superpower is he wins, and like...
Well, he's a great player, yeah.
Right.
He does a lot of things.
I know, but he makes winning plays in the moments where you need winning plays, whether it's a behind the back or an I'm falling down flippy pass, whatever he does, it's like, oh my God, like anybody else would do that and you would criticize him. And I do think that Brock Purdy's superpower is his ability to pre-snap, be able to see it.
Yeah.
And that is a superpower. Like Trevor Lawrence is big and he's got this great arm, but he and Jason LaConfora even said it to us in our conversation. Well, he's going to throw a pick tonight.
Yeah.
And that's almost a guarantee.
He almost did already.
Right. That's what he does. Yeah. You know, he doesn't see it. He doesn't always read it. So some of the superpowers we talk about are more like under the covers than the obvious thing. Like Lamar Jackson, okay, you're the best athlete on the planet. That's a superpower.
Look, this is this might be a conversation for tomorrow, but this is making me think of the quote that Grandy and Lucas were sending us last night from Pat Spencer after the Warriors preseason game. And I don't have it in front of me right now, and that's fine. Again, we can go into it tomorrow. The basic idea was Spencer goes on about a 5-sentence rant about like what makes a sustainable player in the NBA. And then his last ending quip was, for some reason, there are teams around this league that continually fall in love with length and athleticism.
Bottom feeders.
And he said they continually find themselves in the lottery.
Yep.
Now, I know this fan base.
Bay Area, it's Pat Spencer.
Yeah, hi, Pat. And I know where this fan base is going to take it. They're going to be like, ooh, Pat's shots fired at Jonathan Kuminga. Okay, we can talk about this tomorrow. But what he's talking about is the same thing as everybody out there who falls in love with 6'5 and your howitzer arm. Great. 6'5", howitzer arm. Hi, Trevor Lawrence. How you doing? And we can do this through the years of Jeff George and Jamarcus Russell and on and on and on. Geno Smith is 6'5 with a howitzer arm. How we doing? So to me, do you want those things in a vacuum? Sure, they're great. It'd be great to have everybody built like Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. But that's not the whole picture to playing quarterback. You can play quarterback a lot of ways. And the number one, two, three, and four thing are not 6'5 howitzer arm. It's great if you can blend those with decision making and seeing and reading a defense and leading a team and anticipation and leverage and all of that. It's great if you can do that too, but I take all those other things first. You got to have that first.
Yeah.
A lot of people have played quarterback at 6 feet. Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, these people have won Super Bowls at the same size as Brock Purdy.
A lot of quarterbacks have played at 6'6 and 6'7 and been bums.
Terrible.
And I'm thinking about Dan McGuire, Mark McGuire's brother, who was like 6'8 and he never could really get it done at that height. And you look at Josh Allen, and Josh Allen, his first year, that was a massive struggle. His accuracy was horrendous. And then you got a better coach around you, you got a better coordinator, and he actually improved as a player. So a lot of these things are not in a vacuum. And the Trevor Lawrence conversation, we had it a couple weeks ago, whether or not I think that he can be better than he has been. And he's got a good offensive-minded head coach. And so this would be a time where he would be able to show growth and show that he is better than what he had under all of the revolving door coaches and coordinators.
Next up is Chris on 680. Hi, Chris. Thanks for the call. What's up?
Good afternoon, fellas. How are you?
We're fantastic, man. We appreciate your call.
Well, thanks for taking my call. So it just occurred to me, I'm sitting here driving, when you were talking about the 49ers' lack of these defensive quarterback stats of hurries and pressures and sacks and all that stuff. And yes, it's true. But two things came to mind. One is they're giving up just under 20 points a game. That's pretty good. And number two, a great quote from Mike Kruko years ago. There's one thing you can't measure on a stat sheet, and that's the size of a man's heart. And I think the Niners defense collectively has that heart. It sure seems the way they make plays when they have to make plays. Now, is that sustainable, Mark? You don't think it is? I ask why not. They are getting guys back. Mustafa should be back. They're confident he'll be back within the next 3 weeks because they opened his practice window. That will help. But all these kids that are playing are making a play when it has to be made. Marquise Siegel got torched by the Rams until the last play of the game where he filled the gap. So my point is, let's not just rely on these statistics that tell us, oh my gosh, how are they doing this? And let's just kind of look at the overall picture, which is, to me, when you have Fred Warner on your defense, you got a chance.
Oh,
that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, Chris, I love it.
Oh, yeah.
And I agree with that. Here's the other thing, though. When you say, like, oh, you know, maybe it is sustainable because they're going to get Mustafa. And obviously we've talked about whether or not they'd acquire a pass rusher. That's kind of what I'm getting at. I'm not saying it's not sustainable if they don't make changes and get healthy. They've got to get better. What I'm saying is Fred Warner's heart is unmatched. I don't think their defense is terrible. The metrics would tell you that it's not. But this is not going to last all the way through the season to the playoffs if your plan is we're going to get 2 sacks a month. Like, it's just not going to work.
Yeah.
So heart. Yes, agreed. Wonderful. I think they have it. Mac Jones has heart. Brock Purdy has heart. Fred Warner, heart through the roof. But they're going to need to get healthier. They're going to need reinforcements. They're going to need to play better than they have.
And if you look at the anatomy of this 4-1, you can look at some things that the opponents have done that are not necessarily defensively related, like drops, for example. Big-time drops in big-time spots by the opponents. And you know, I give the Niners credit for the Kyren Williams punch out at the 1 yard line. That was incredible. And a blocked field goal is a great defensive effort on the special teams. But there have been things that have gone their way that the defense necessarily didn't cause, so to speak. And I just look at the inability to rush the passer without Bosa and the fact that it's what now 11 or 12 games in a row since you've had an interception.
And that's not even an interception.
That's tough to sustain.
Yeah, exactly right. Love talking this all out with everybody here on 95.7 The Game, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. 888-957-9570 is the number, and this conversation has largely been centered around the idea of whether or not any of you out there would like the 49ers, or you would like to continue to see Mac Jones play even when Brock Purdy gets healthy. I mean, I think that we can all kind of meet in the middle on this, which is if Brock's not healthy, you know, you said this earlier, and I agree, part of the whole 4-1 thing really ends up allowing you the latitude to go ahead and take a little time for Brock Purdy if that's what's needed. But it is also interesting to me that somehow, while Mac Jones has multiple injuries, lays on the ground, dry heaves on the sideline, nobody is like, and we got to save that guy too.
Yeah.
Does anybody want Adrian Martinez to play in this Fox special window this Sunday afternoon? I don't. I get it. I want to preserve these guys too, but I hope at least one of them is healthy enough to get the nod.
Yeah, I mean, Mac Jones will be healthy enough, and he will get the nod. I haven't seen the injury report yet, but, I mean, he played through the game, and even though we all thought that, oh, the knee, it turned out that the majority of his issue was cramping on that Thursday night. Yep. I mean, he's over there eating bananas and drinking electrolytes and getting massages, and so I don't know how the knee... I don't even know if the knee is more hurt than it was going into the game.
Remember, don't substitute, hey, he got through the game for he's healthy for the following week. Brock Purdy has gotten through both of his games and then has been unhealthy come Tuesday or Wednesday. So we'll see. Got some more of you that want to talk. We're absolutely welcoming you in. 888-957-9570. We're sponsored by Moderna and Swillard and Dibbs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dub Nation, it's Stephen Curry. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Warriors, Fresh Curry.
Warriors must have had media day, huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody was there.
Yep.
Steph Curry was there.
He sure was.
Al Horford? No. Jonathan Kuminga? Nope.
No. Seth Curry?
Uh-uh.
D'Anthony Melton.
Nope.
Hi, this is D'Anthony Melton. I don't even know what he sounds like.
But Steph Curry was there.
Yep.
And
well, I have Melton from last year. You want to hear what he sounded like?
Let me get some Melton.
Yeah. Hey, Dibs, your pick stink.
Dub Nation, it's D'Anthony Melton. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your pick stink.
Yeah, D'Anthony.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stink. I mean.
He's back.
Yeah.
That's why they brought him back.
That's right.
They're like, we got to use that thing because we barely got to use that thing because he got hurt so damn fast. We never got to use that thing. Got to use that thing now.
Hi, this is Andrew Wiggins. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
He does get close to the mic, doesn't he?
Hi, this is Andrew Wiggins. Yeah, Granny's looking for it.
Yeah, he's looking. All right.
Good diction.
I don't have it on, this on that wing. Right. Sad.
Yeah, he does. He's, yeah.
Good afternoon. This is Andrew Wiggins.
The enunciation sensation is
that's
what it
a dollar,
was.
Yeah. Is what that is.
All right. Thank you. Let's go back to the phones. Hey, Jose in Oakland is on the line. Hello, Jose. What you doing?
Good afternoon, guys. I'm commuting home after work.
Yep.
Long day. Too hot for this time of the year. Okay, obviously it seems like the Bengals do not have any intentions of trading their pass rusher. What is keeping the 49ers from actually reaching out to the Raiders? I mean, the Raiders are 1-4. It's obvious that they need a lot of new players. They need a lot of draft picks. Why not reach out to Tom Brady and Pete Carroll? I mean, it's not like they're, you know, Pete Carroll is our friend, but he has to be realistic about his situation as a head coach. If he doesn't have the players, he's going to keep losing and losing. Max Crosby would be, to me, probably the next best choice as a pass rusher, because just trading for a pass rusher to trade for one doesn't make any sense for me. It has to be an impact pass rusher, and he would fit that mold. Plus, the Niners would have a control, you know, over the player for at least 2-3 years. And if it comes down to the salary cap, well, you know, the salary cap implications, you know what? Forget about the salary cap. They always have to find a way to work around it. If not, look at the Rams. I mean, that year when they won the Super Bowl, they were well over the salary cap, and still they kept adding and adding players. And if today they were given a choice, listen, give back the Lombardi Trophy and we'll give you the draft pick. Why do you think that would be crazy to give it back? No. They have that Lombardi Trophy there to show for. As far as draft picks, you know what? If it means getting to a Super Bowl, heck, you know, give up 2 first-round picks. I mean, after all, if they win the Super Bowl, the first-round pick for next year would be one of the last draft picks in the fifth round. And to be honest, the 49ers, I mean, they've been really, really bad at picking on the fifth round anyway.
I hear you. Jose, here's the thing about Max Crosby, and thank you for the call. You utter the name Max Crosby and everyone's going to be like, yeah, let's do that.
Let's get them both.
Yeah. Well, first of all, he said if Max Crosby would be the next best option. Hold on. Max Crosby would be the best option, period. Max Crosby's way better than Trey Hendrickson. Max Crosby's as good as they come. So that would be incredible. But yes, this is a very, very difficult thing. I don't know that Mark Davis would want to trade with the 49ers. Max Crosby literally just signed a new deal.
Yep.
I don't think that they're going to want to get rid of him. I know, you know, this season has just gotten started. And yes, he's also very, very expensive. And that's sort of one of the draws about Trey Hendrickson is it would be a rental. It would be a one-year deal. Max would cause you major, major draft capital. You might be okay with that. But also, for those of you who have been like, don't pay Purdy, that's too much. What's left over for others? Well, and now you're going to add in Max Crosby, and he's going to come back with Bosa, and they're both making $34, $35 million a year. Sure, cap schmap, but like, dude, this is going to get you at some point if you're doing all of these people. So,
and Crosby's, I'm just looking at his contract, and the majority of the money is in salary. It's not in bonus. No. So that hits you hard.
Right in the you-know-what.
Right between the eyes is where it hits you. And so, yeah, that's going to be a $38 million cap hit this year, $36 the next year. So if you do something like that, you're going to have to part ways with Nick Bosa, and I don't think that they're even close to being in that spot.
Just super complex deal. But, you know, in theory, yes. I just want to see the 49ers bolster their pass rush. I don't want to see them crater their cap and their draft and everything. And I don't know that the Raiders would do it. But if they would, sure, it's worth a call. But I'm probably thinking more along the lines of people that'll cost you, I don't know, fourth rounder to Miami for Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb. Like, let's talk about those kinds of names. Sure, Hendrickson and Crosby, but yeah, those get real complex based on the owners of those respective teams. How about K-Dog and Corte Madera? Hi, K-Dog, what you doing?
Hey, Willard, Dibby, how you guys doing?
So good.
Okay.
Good. I'm calling to talk about Brock Purdy and Mac Jones. And, you know, I think people have a short memory with Brock Purdy. I mean, he took him to the Super Bowl 2 years ago and left the field with the lead. when he left the field, they were winning the game. So it's obviously awesome that we have Mac Jones to come in and win these games. And I'm a Brock Purdy believer. I'm a short white guy myself, so I got to be on his side. And I think when he comes back, he's going to do great. And we've also seen backup quarterbacks, you know, have like a 3 or 4 day or 3 or 4 week run, and then things run out of steam. Like the guy that he was with Minnesota or whatever, won 3 or 4 games, and Dobbins or whatever the guy's name is, the rocket scientist guy. Then he folded up his tent, and so we don't know. I mean, Mac Jones, obviously a first round draft pick out of Alabama, but you know, I don't think there's a controversy. It's unfortunate that Brock's hurt. And it's very fortunate that we have a system that Mac Jones can come in and run. So I'm glad we've got a great backup, but I'm looking forward to having Brock come back healthy and take us hopefully into the playoffs and make a good run if everybody gets healthy.
K-Dog, thanks. Speaking way too much sense. By the way, like my mind's going on this Vikings QB that he's trying to think of. Was he thinking of Case Keenum? Case Keenum a few years ago?
Maybe.
Which
Rocket scientist?
I don't know if he's a rocket scientist, but Case Keenum was like, I mean, it looked like he was taking the Vikings to the Super Bowl. And then it didn't happen. And
Keenum was the quarterback to the Diggs touchdown, Foles, right? the Minneapolis Miracle,
yes,
in the playoffs.
Right, and then didn't he lose next week to Nick Foles?
Josh Dobbs, according to AI, is the Vikings quarterback who was also an aerospace engineer.
Okay. Yeah, he did come in and win some games.
Thank you.
He won some games, for sure. But yes.
That's who I think he was referring
to. Okay. The answer,
thank you, AI.
The answer is 1,000% yes. For like a lot of people have forgotten what Brock Purdy has done. Now, does that mean that lasts forever if he keeps throwing picks? Of course not. But you leave the field with the lead in the Super Bowl, then you lose the game. You come back next year, literally next to nobody in the whole organization plays well. You have a crappy season for 1,000 different reasons. The Aiyuk deal, all of the family strife, the injuries, just the whole thing kind of falls apart as you play a first-place schedule. Then he gets a huge contract, comes out, wins a game in Seattle, and...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Then gets injured, and then 3 weeks later plays in a spot where he may or may not have been compromised, plays a pretty poor game, though not the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. The Niners fall to a disastrous 3-1.
Yeah.
And we're moving on? I mean, honestly, what planet are we on right now?
We're not moving on, but we're just...
Some want to.
Well, we're letting him just... get better. You get all the way better, Brock. Meanwhile, we'll go out there and mack it up and let him go out there and keep winning road games with nobody around him.
You're so happy with Mark Grandy. I think you should ask him what's coming up on the game.
What are you doing later, Grandy?
The crossover's coming up next.
Okay. All right.
Did you just make that decision right now?
I was deciding if I just wanted to stick it to Dibs one more time or not.
You might as well.
Crossover coming up next. Right.
Crossover.
You two and then Stani and Ev, who was in today.
Love it. All right. That's what's coming up. And it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. Tomorrow, working on a lot, including Mungo.
Mungo.
We'll see if you two can continue your fight John Feliciano will be on the show as we start to move through the week.
Now that I'm in a feud with Grandy, I'm going to slide into Mongo's DMs and get him angry so he comes out cussing.
Okay. That's one way to attack it. Doesn't bother me.
Nope, me either.
You want to do it again tomorrow?
Shh. Blank, yeah.
All right. We'll do it again tomorrow. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.